is from a storyteller who, in her next life, she would be an ethnographer. But in this life, she's a practicing nurse and a nurse instructor. She moved to Milwaukee 15 years ago, and 14 years ago, she quit the job that dragged her here, but she still hasn't quit the city. She used to consider getting on stage her version of hell, but now she's making the leap to Turner Hall because she believes in the power of stories. So please give a very warm welcome to Cindy Grover. Welcome, Cindy.
Thank you. The tall person adjust. Okay, so we're not in hell, we're just in purgatory, right? A little warmth on a cold night, that'll be a good thing. Anyway, when I was invited to speak tonight, I started thinking about the theme of gifts. You know, gifts are those things that we get that we really appreciate, that we're thankful for. So I want to take a moment before I get any further to say thank you to the organizers of Exfabula, my fellow storytellers, and really to all of you. Thank you so much for coming out on this blustery night and helping to create this venue where we can all come together and share stories. That really is a gift to me. So thank you, everyone. But we are here now in the season, the holiday season, the season of retail. So that made me start to think about Christmas gifts future, Christmas gifts past. And I had this memory of something I'd completely forgotten about this tradition that my sister and I had gotten into, actually a very sick and twisted tradition, centered around Christmas gifts, specifically bedroom slippers. It began one year when my sister got my parents to give me this pair of lion head bedroom slippers. God-awful, ugly lion head bedroom slippers. But what are you going to do? They're from your parents, right? So what I decided to do was retaliate. And the next year, I got my brother to get her bear claw bedroom slippers. But she trumped me. She got my boyfriend to get me pig bedroom slippers. Now, that should have been a red flag right there about that relationship, but that's a whole other story. The next year, though, I had a real coup. I found and I got my aunt to give her Nancy and Ronnie Reagan head bedroom slippers. Yes. I actually wish I had them now. They'd be a great collector's item, wouldn't they? But anyway, I realized that, you know, that wasn't really a story worthy of 10 minutes of stage time. And so I began to challenge myself to think of a story that was worthy of your attention. And I had to think outside of the box, literally. And that really shifted my thoughts to my career as a nurse. You know, I often say to my friends that the things that I value and appreciate the most aren't things, they're experiences. And working as a nurse, you have a lot of experiences. You meet a lot of people that you probably never would come in contact with in the rest of your life. You know, when you're a nurse and the patients come to the hospital, they look at you and they trust you to take care of them, to look out for them when they can't for themselves, to do for them what they need, even if at that moment they don't necessarily appreciate that that's what has to be done. You're with them at these very intimate and pivotal moments in their life, and they look to you and they trust you. And that really is a tremendous gift. So the story I decided to tell you tonight is about one of my former patients. It comes from very early in my nursing career. I had only been out of school about a year. The story is about a little African-American boy, 5 years old, someone I took care of when I was working at an inner-city hospital in Cleveland on the children's unit. His story began at home. He was playing. His mother was making dinner. She was cooking pig's feet in a crock pot, and she had used an extension cord to be able to plug it in. The little boy was running and playing, running through the house, running through the kitchen. He gets caught on the extension cord, and this giant hot pot of grease comes pouring down on his head. Scalding oil, burning his face and his neck, his shoulder, his flank. Very, very badly burned. First, second, third degree burns. When I met him, he had giant blisters all over and sheets of dead skin just hanging off. Now, the place where I was working, we did something called primary care nursing, which means that when the patient comes to the hospital, they're assigned a nurse, and that nurse is responsible for coordinating that patient's care throughout their hospital stay. Every day that nurse works, she takes care of that patient. So the boy I'm telling you about was one of my patients, my primary patients. So every day that he was at the hospital, I was responsible for doing his care. Now, any of you that have ever experienced burns, you know they're extremely painful. But what you may not know is that the treatment and the recovery from such a wound that this boy had is equally excruciating. Because the situation is this. When skin heals, it scars. And those scars shrink and they contract. If that skin is over an extremity, the shrinking and contracting skin can actually render the limb immobile, useless. Put on top of that, when you have a client of color, often when they heal, their skin loses its pigment. So, you know, of course, we as nurses, we want our patients to heal perfectly. We don't want the scarring. We don't want the depigmentation. We don't want the contractures. So what you need to do is you actually need to mechanically remove all the dead and devitalized skin. We are literally scrubbing the patient raw. We are scrubbing them till they bleed, because then we know that we have healthy and viable tissue. So that is what I needed to do to this little boy. Every day that I was at work, that's what I needed to do to this little boy. But all this little boy knew was every time he saw me that it meant that something really painful was going to happen to him. Now, we didn't do these painful procedures in the children's room. They need to feel like they had a safe place. So we would take them to this other space, which was called the treatment room. And we as nurses would put on these big yellow gowns and gloves to protect ourselves from the blood and other bodily fluids that were often spilt during the treatments. But you know, children aren't stupid. And they quickly learn that when they see the nurse coming at them in that yellow gown, that something not good is going to happen. So on the morning of December 25th, as I'm standing in my patient's doorway in the yellow gown, he looks up, he looks deep into my eyes, and he says to me, "You mean you have to hurt me again today, even on Christmas?" And he starts to cry. And I walk over to him, and I take him in my arms, and I pick him up, and I walk down that hallway to the treatment room. And I start the treatment, and he is bawling, and I am scrubbing, and I am sobbing. It was not a Merry Christmas. Several days later, it had gotten to the point where his mother had finally learned to do his dressing changes, and his wounds had healed to the point where he was able to be discharged home. Now, as I shared with you, you know, the wonderful thing about being a nurse is that you do get to touch people's lives in these very intimate and important ways. But the downside is that they often leave you before you ever know how the story finishes. You know, they go home, and you imagine that they heal and that they go on to live their lives happily ever after. You actually hope, really, that you don't find out how the story finishes, because in order for that to happen, the person would have to come back to the hospital, and that usually means something has not gone right. So about a week after this boy had left, I was going into work, and I'm walking onto the floor, and I'm walking past the family waiting room, and I look, and I see his mother sitting there. My heart just sinks. My mind is racing, you know, what could have happened? Did he get an infection? Did he get another burn? What brought this family back to the hospital? And so I start walking toward the nursing station to check the patient roster. And as I'm walking down the hall, I feel somebody tap my shoulder, and I turn around, and it's the mother. And she says, "I came to the hospital today because I think you should see my son's skin." And then I realize she has the little boy in tow behind her. And she brings him out around, and she takes off his jacket, and I unconsciously, I guess, close my eyes. And she says, "I want you to see this." And I swallow hard, and I open my eyes. And what I see is not a scar. It's not a contracture. It's not an area of depigmentation. What I see is the most beautiful little boy that has healed perfectly, pristine. And then I see him reach in his pocket, and he takes out this little piece of construction paper with coloring on it, and timidly he comes forward, and he puts it in my hand. And I open it, and with a crayon in his little five-year-old printing, he's written the phrase, "Thank you for helping me with my burns." I have to tell you, that moment was one of the best gifts I have ever been given. Thank you.